Birshus Rabosai. Was the Mishkan beautiful? It's almost a heretical question if every single detail of the Mishkan came from the Ribono Shel Olam. So of course the Mishkan must have been beautiful, whatever it was. But I still ask the question, was the Mishkan beautiful? And that will depend on two things. Number one, what was the Mishkan? And second of all, what is beautiful? Rav Meidan from the Gush, Rav Meidan points out very convincingly that the Mishkan was not the entire structure. We call it proverbially the Mishkan, but it wasn't. The Mishkan, if you look closely at the Psukim, was the inner layer of the roof. The inner layer of the roof, the 10 beautiful tapestries, the 10 beautiful tapestries sewn together, pictures of Kruvim on them, Techeles V'Argaman, Tolashani, those inner tapestries of the roof, that was actually the Mishkan. The Gemara tells us in Shabbos that Mishkan, Karoi Mishkan, the Mishkan is called the Mishkan, V'Ein Kruyav Karoi Mishkan. The walls are not called the Mishkan. The walls are not the Mishkan. Not even the entire roof is called the Mishkan. The Mishkan was the inner layer, the bottom layer of the cover of this building. And that was rather beautiful. But it's amazing that they covered it over. The Mishkan, the beautiful tapestries of the Mishkan were covered over by another layer, by several other layers. There was a layer of black goat's hair. Just a black tapestry that you threw over the whole thing, like somebody takes when they want to keep their Corvette. Lahavdil, more than Elif Avdolos. When somebody wants to keep their Corvette beautiful, they take this big shmata and they throw it over the Corvette. That's what they threw over. It was a black goatskin cover. And it made it look like every other tent. That's what you would go in. If you were living in a tent in the desert, that's what your tent would look like. Why would they do that? Can you imagine how upset the family was that donated the Mishkan, the bottom one? Can you imagine that on the day that everything, oh wow, look what the Schwartzes gave this, and they put it on, and they're so excited, and then this other one, given by the Goldbergs, they throw this black shmata over them. Now there were two other layers, but according to the Gemara in Shabbos, those other layers, the red skins, and the beautiful skins of the Tachash, were only on the top. It was like a yarmulke, a strimal. But it's very high up, you couldn't see it. So if you're coming, imagine that you come and you heard your Yisro. And you come later in Jewish history, I want to go see the Mishkan. The Mishkan's so beautiful. And you come and you see, and it's covered in a black covering. Why would we do that? Rabosa, you have to understand that in the time of Tanakh, black is not beautiful. Black is far from beautiful. Says the shepherd girl in Shir HaShirim, Shechora Ani V'Na'ava. I am black. Not black from a race. It meant, if you were black, then it meant you had to work. You were outside. You got a good tan. A tan meant Nebuch. You had to work outside in the fields. Shechora Ani. This girl says, I'm not like the nobility. I'm not fair-skinned. Shechora ani v'nava. I'm also beautiful on the inside. Ki aholei kedar, ki yiriyot shalomo. And that's exactly what this was. Ohalei kedar, the tents of the nomads. The black tents of the nomads covering the yiriyot of shalomo. Why would the beautiful tapestries of the Mishkan be covered in a black cloth? So an interesting explanation. You can't tell me that the Mishkan, that the temple on the outside is supposed to be ugly and on the inside beautiful. Look at the Beis HaMikdash. Beis HaMikdash is beautiful. It's grand. They didn't throw a black shmata over the Beis HaMikdash. But the Mishkan, listen closely. The Mishkan represented where the Jewish people were at the beginning of their nationhood. The Jewish people at this time, having been slaves, living with a slave mentality, were black on the outside. But on the inside, HaKadosh Baruch Hu saw something else. The Mishkan represented what the Jewish people were up to at that time. If you looked at them, they looked like a ragtag bunch. But if you went inside, oh, sure, you could see the tapestries of the Mishkan, but you had to walk inside. That's why it was so beautiful. You look up at the ceiling. It's beautiful. You got to walk inside. On the outside, the Jewish people weren't yet ready to look beautiful. They looked ordinary. And the Ribbono Shel Olam saw inside the Mishkan to see what they were. Hundreds of years later, the Jewish people were ready to look on the outside, just like they looked on the inside. The Beis HaMikdash was a different time in Jewish history, when the Jewish people had matured. And the Jewish people were ready to look beautiful. But it didn't last. The Jewish people as a nation went into a time when the outside was once again lost into galus. When only the Ribbono Shel Olam could see inside and see who we really were. The black covering was pulled over again. And only HaKadosh Baruch Hu could see as Klal Yisrael, what seems to be the most downtrodden people in the world, and see that in fact inside is Yiriyot Shlomo. And at some point that will be lifted again. It's perhaps started to be lifted in our time. The black is beginning to be pulled back as the world of Torah grows, Eretz Yisrael grows. We're beginning once again to see these beautiful tapestries that we'll see at the end of time. It's true, Rabosai, and this is what I'm here to talk about tonight, not just in the life of a nation, but in the lives of individuals. And although I'm going to connect what I'm speaking about tonight to the yeshiva, everything going on in the yeshiva, I want to talk about something you might not expect me to talk about, because it has to do with the midah and the way we look at people. And it may not be in the top five things that somebody said, oh, Rabbi Penny, you better address this in the yeshiva. But it's so important. Rabosai, we, like the Mishkan, like the Mikdash, like the nation of Klal Yisrael, go through phases. When we are young, we are like the Mishkan. We might be cute on the outside, but you don't really see that potential. There's so much there, there's so much the person can be, but there's a black cover. The child is young, like the Mishkan. And then we go into our productive years. Well, we begin to shine, we begin to reach our potential, we're a mikdash. But listen very closely. Just as nations can go into exile, people can go into exile. Just as a nation can go into gullus and have a black tapestry pulled over, individuals can go into exile. Individuals can go into a state, whether it's because they get old, whether it's because they veer from their derech, whether it's because they make mistakes and they can never forgive themselves for their mistakes. They're individuals that also go into galus. And our job is to look inside and see the Yiriyot Shlomo. The first week that I got to Lincoln Square Synagogue, I did my internship. Everybody here does a rabbinic internship. So I did my rabbinic internship at Lincoln Square Synagogue in Manhattan. And I was invited to stay and move into the West Side to be the assistant rabbi. So there were three other rabbis in the shul at the time. And the day I showed up, they all left. It was a vacation. It was Tisha B'Av. They wanted to make sure the guy in the bottom of the totem pole was there for the summer. So the day I moved in with two little children and a lot of boxes into this apartment, the day I moved in, the rest of the rabbis left. Okay, what could happen? You know, it's... I move in on a Tuesday. By Shabbos, three people passed away already. I told them the next year, it's Pikuach Nefesh. You can't leave me alone. As soon as you leave me alone, everybody starts going. So there I was. I knew about as much as the average smicha student. I'd never done a funeral. And every single day that week, somebody passes away. So I go on that Wednesday, the first day, ready to do my first funeral. So I come and I meet with the family of the deceased. An older woman, I didn't know anybody. An older woman, I come to the apartment, and I'm there, and I have my pen. Those days we used to use a pen, remember, for iPads. I have my stenographic notebook, and I was all ready to do everything they taught me in rabbi school. So I got the whole family together, and I had my pen ready to write, and I said, so please tell me something about your mother. And there was dead silence. And after about 3 minutes, one of the children looked at me and said, we hated her. She sat on that couch for 20 years and she barked at us. Now, this is not what they told me was going to happen in rabbi school. They told me that they're going to give me all these nice platitudes and I'm going to have to cut it down into a short hesped. So I'm sitting there with my pen hovering over this notebook. What? This is the first funeral. Why? Why me? What did I do? So I pushed them. I said, tell me something. Please tell me something. I'm a new rabbi. You got to give me something to work with. They found a memory here, a shred here, early years, this and that. Before she was sick. So I went home. And I stayed up very late that night. What am I going to do? And the next morning I quoted the Gemara. And I told the family that Chazal tell us that the Luchos and the Shivrei Luchos are Munachim Ba'aron. That the Luchos and the broken Luchos both have a place in the Aron. And I looked at the Aron, a different term of Aron. I looked at the Aron next to me. And I said, there are two mothers sitting next to you. Two mothers lying in this Aron. The mother of the last 20 years, the mother who was in Galus, the mother who was suffering from dementia and mental illness, and the mother of the first 60 years of her life, who was your mother. And just like the Luchos got to sit in the Aron, the Shivrei Luchos also deserve our kavod. People can become Shivrei Luchos. How often do we meet somebody who's older and we think of them as being an old person? No one, Rabosai, is an old person. Everyone is a young person who's become old. We look and we meet somebody this person seems a little bit off. We meet somebody, comes to sit down and learn in the yeshiva, and we look at the person as if that's who they are. Without saying Nebuch, they might be in Galus. They're covered over. They've changed. And it's true not simply of someone necessarily who's old. It can be true of someone who has given up on themselves. Someone who's suffering from a different illness. Someone who's suffering from mistakes. Like Klal Yisrael suffered from mistakes. And they're out in Galus. We have to learn not simply to see the inside of people, but to realize that everyone is beautiful. Sometimes a black cover is pulled over those individuals. You know, when I got to my shul, there were a lot of older people in the shul who I never knew younger. And I made the terrible mistake of looking at them as older people. And it's only when I would sit with their families and take information for their hespedim that I would realize these people were gedolim in their own way. But I got to know them once they were in Galus.
There's so many people walking around in Golus today, Rabosa. So many people walking around in exile from their mission, from who they are, from what they're supposed to be. And they need us to remember. I was with a fellow from our shul just last week. A fellow who's been in Golus a long time. And I tried to explain to him as he was dying that like Klal Yisrael, he's going to be redeemed as well. It's a very strange thing to be a shul rabbi who sits at the bedsides of people who are passing away and to sometimes be jealous. It's a very strange feeling to look at someone who's literally in Golus, as far out in Golus as they could be, knowing that they're about to be redeemed. I said to this man who was a friend of mine, don't be afraid. It's easy for me to say, don't be afraid. But I said, don't be afraid. The redemption is coming. You're going to be who you were again soon. You're going to be back with your wife. You're going to be redeemed. It can be so hard, Rabosai, to walk in and to see that beauty. But the Mishkan was so beautiful. It's just that it was covered over. And just like in a nation's life, it can go through moments where it's on and moments where it's in Golus. The same thing can happen with people. We dare not assume that they're just the way we see them or they appear to us when they're in Golus. Let me close on a different note about the yeshiva. Because I think as important as this message is, as we meet people, as we run into people, it's important in the life of a nation, in the life of an individual, and it's important also in the life of an institution. Rabosai, there are many, many black cloths hanging over the yeshiva and the university at this time. I don't have to tell you that, you know that. And there are many people who look at this wonderful, wonderful Mishkan, and they just see the black on the inside, on the outside. I have to tell you that it's your responsibility, those who are in this room, to continue to see the beauty that's inside the Mishkan. To continue to express that, to continue to let everybody know the beauty that's here. There is no greater joy for me than walking into this room. When I am able to be here the couple of nights a week that I'm able to be here for Night Seder, I'm upstairs in my office doing stuff that I don't always enjoy. When I come down here about 8:30 and I open the doors and I hear you, I see the inside of the Mishnah. I see the Yiriyot Shlomo. And yes, few lights are still out. We're working on that. But it's a beautiful, beautiful, beautiful view from inside the Beis Medrash. We have to, Rabosai, especially at this time that so many are fighting for the yeshiva. We need those who see the inside, the beauty of the yeshiva, not to get caught up in all the black cover that may be pulled over and all the troubles and all the difficulties. That's for other people to worry about. The job of those in this room is to learn, is to keep the buzz in this Beis Medrash, is to constantly see the beauty, to talk about the beauty, to feel the beauty of this beautiful, beautiful Mishkan. Mirtz Hashem, we should all be zochet to a time when in our own lives and in the lives of our people, and please God soon for the yeshiva, that whatever black cloths are there will be pulled off. The beauty that's inside this room will radiate, that the beauty that's inside every Jew will radiate, and the beauty that's inside of Klal Yisrael will be seen by everyone around the world. Amen.